You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, for the second podcast of 2017 here on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. 2017, not off to a good start for the Pelicans as they fall to the Cleveland Cavaliers, on the road at least, which is a little bit better. 90-82, not a great game for either team, but one team had to win, and it's probably going to be the team with LeBron James. We're going to talk about that today on Locked On Pelicans. Kind of just recap that game. There's actually a lot to take away from this. It's not as bad as it sounds. Pels do snap or have their four-game winning streak snapped by the Cavaliers. We're going for five straight. Would have been a great way to start 2017. Was not to be. I'll tell you what went right, what went wrong, what's kind of in the middle. Is there a middle? Maybe. So that's going to be the episode here today of Locked On Pelicans. I've also got to tell you about the greatest play I saw in the game last night as well. But before we get to recapping the game and the play of the game, and trust me, the play of the game is a good one. There's video of it on Twitter. We're going to break it down. But before we get to that, don't forget Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast coming to you guys daily like this. It's on Audio Boom, it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, and any other podcast app you have. So please make sure you're subscribed to it, that you like it, that you share it on social media, whatever it is. It definitely helps. Don't forget, Saints offseason is just starting right now. Don't forget to subscribe to Locked On Saints. Don't forget to subscribe to Locked On NBA. Get a national overview of the NBA as a whole. It's once a week. They get some great insight. They get anonymous coaches, scouts on there to come talk. Call it like they see it, which is not insight you're getting anywhere else. So that's a really nice thing. And also, as a special, you know, bonus offer here for Locked On Pelicans listeners, I went to the Sugar Bowl last night with my girlfriend. We decided to get tickets at the last minute. Go see Auburn, Oklahoma play. You want to know how we did it? It was through SeatGeek. And you guys have heard me say this before, but it's really the best way to get tickets. That's a big-name bowl game in town in New Orleans here, right around the corner from pretty much where I live. I wanted to go. I checked the SeatGeek app. I found tickets that were rated at a high value, meaning, you know, they aggregate different sites together. They put all these tickets up there. They show you the lowest prices for them. They tell you what's a good buy and what isn't. They told me these seats were a good buy. I snapped them up, got tickets for pretty damn cheap to go to this, you know, to go. It's not a playoff game, but hey, it's a big bowl game to see two, you know, big name teams. It was pretty fun. It was in the OU section. Heard a lot of Boomer Sooner. But SeatGeek's the best way to make sure you're in on the action. And for Locked On Pelicans listeners, if you download the SeatGeek app today, you go to the settings tab, go to enter promo code, put in Locked On Pelicans, as in L-O Pelicans. Is the promo code. Sorry, LO Pelicans is the promo code, as in Locked On Pelicans. I got them switched. You get a $20 rebate just for going to a game you'd already want to go to. Use it for a Pelicans game. Use it for a Saints game next season. You know, whenever there's a college game you want to go to, even for concerts, anything you want. You want to be in on the action? SeatGeek is the way to go. Make sure you put in the promo code LO Pelicans, get your $20 rebate, and get in on action or concert or whatever it is, whatever live event you want today. It's the best way to do it. But enough of that, because the Pelicans played tonight in Cleveland on the road, first game of 2017. Didn't do too well having their, like I said, four-game winning streak snap. The final score was 90-82. You could call this game a bunch of different things. I'm going to call this just kind of sloppy from both teams. I don't think this was really like a defensive slugfest or anything like that. If you look at the Pelicans, they shot up for the field 36.4%. Were good from behind the arc. Made 11 three-pointers. Took 26, 42.3. But overall, it's the two-point shooting that absolutely killed them tonight. Shooting very, very poorly from there. Cleveland wasn't much better, 37.8% from the field, 6 of 31 behind the three-point line for a good total of 19.4%. Yeah, if you're Cleveland, LeBron did his thing, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He did have 4 turnovers, though. He was actually a minus 4 on the night, but you guys know I don't like individual plus-minus, but I'm going to throw it out there because it's a bad number for LeBron. But they did get a lot of help. Felder off the bench, their guard for him, got him 12. Richard Jefferson, who's kind of come on strong recently for him, scored 12. And Channing Frye scored another 14. Those are the guys who kind of, you know, helped with the scoring. Kyrie Irving was out for the Cavs. Kevin Love chipped in 12. They just kind of, it's kind of like a Pelicans-esque performance that they got, where a lot of guys gave you between 10 and 15 points, and it's enough to outscore the opponent. For the Pelicans, I mean, they're getting good games from certain people. Davis had 20. He also had 17 rebounds. That's excellent for him. You know, he was battling on the glass. He was going to be able to handle this. The Pelicans did go with that small lineup to start the game again. Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham, Davis, Buddy Hield, Holiday. And speaking of Hield, he had one of his better games as a pro, 20 points. You know, not doing too much else out there. But he was 4 of 6 from 3. And one of the bigger things is he's starting to draw free throws. He went to the line four times, or took four free throws, made them all. And if he can start getting to the line, getting some fouls on opponents, just opening up the offense a little bit, it's only going to help him with three-point shooting. It's just going to mean he's going to be a little bit more open than he was before. But it's going to help the Pelicans. They don't have a ton of guys that draw fouls here. So they really need Buddy Hield to be, you know, a guy who can do that. And he's shown recently he can get to the rim. He's kind of slippery at times. And it's been pretty nice to see. Also chipping in from behind the arc. Dante Cunningham missed the one three-pointer he took. You know, he's one of the guys that needs to be in the corner. He and Solomon Hill have been calling themselves the corner boys, which is awful. Just terrible. No, don't like it. You can't, one, you're not allowed to nickname yourself. Should always be a rule. But the corner boys, so Dante Cunningham 0 for 1. Solomon Hill was 2 for 7. We know he's not been great from behind the arc. He's been better recently, though that's not particularly good. But hey, at least he's taking their shots spacing the court. Holiday was 2 of 3 on the night. That's definitely a good thing to see. He'd lost his 3-point shot a little bit recently after kind of being on fire when he came back from injury. But Holiday chipped in 11 points, 13 assists, facilitating the offense. You've seen it. It just flows a little bit better when they've gone small and when they do this small lineup. So it's definitely a good thing. Tyreke Evans kind of came back down to earth after that game against New York where he played outstanding. He only scored, 4 points, sorry. Didn't get to the line at all, missed his one three-pointer. It's okay. He's still going to be rusty. He's still going to take some time getting into his rhythm. But as I tell you all these stats, you would think the Pelicans won, especially with how bad Cleveland shot. Not the case. And so a lot of that is because in the final 2 minutes, and it's basically 3 minutes in regulation, it was 256 is the exact number, they didn't score. And, you know, okay. And then you look at the shot charts for it, and you start to try and figure out what exactly happened. Well, in that 256, so under 3 minutes left in the game, Pelicans were 0 for 5. What if I told you the Cavaliers were only 1 of 2? Well, because LeBron was driving, getting fouled, and getting to the line, and closing this game out. And so he, you know, iced a bunch of free throws. That's kind of what did the game in here for the Pelicans. But that 0 for 5, so if you look at their shot chart, and you can go to NBA.com/stats and do this, they took 5 shots. One was a three-pointer. 2 were in the paint, not at the rim, not in the restricted area, and then 2 were at the rim. But if you look at their shot chart through the entire fourth quarter, they did not attack the rim. They settled for jumpers. This hasn't been a great jump shooting team throughout the season. It's not the type of shots they want to get. When you go small, you want to do that so you have speed to get to the rim and blow by big men. Or you want to do it so you're going to get open three-pointers. Well, they took the three-pointers. They took 6. Sorry, I had to count it right there. 6 three-pointers in the fourth quarter. They took 1, 2. I'm going to count it out loud. I'm going to count from Sesame Street. Yeah, Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 basically, not quite mid-range jumpers, but basically non-layups and looks at the rim. 8, especially if you want to go, okay, they're kind of, you know, at least 4 or 5 feet from the rim then. It's just not smart shot selection late in the fourth quarter or in the fourth quarter when you need buckets and you want to try and win this game. It was close. With 2:39 left in the game, it was 86-82. They were down 4. This wasn't, you know, a lost game where they were getting blown out, where they had no chance of winning. They just took bad shots, weren't able to make those bad shots, which, again, they're bad shots. You shouldn't expect them to. And that was the game. It was a winnable game. They didn't have Kyrie Irving. you know, Kevin Love's there, yeah, but he didn't have a great night shooting. LeBron's there doing his LeBron things, yeah. But the Pelicans are at full strength other than Quincy Pondexter, and he shouldn't even count at this point. You know, not saying that on the road they should have expected to steal this one. LeBron James is still LeBron James, and he's the best player in the league. But it's a bit of a missed opportunity for the Pelicans last night. Some other things to keep in mind before I get to the play of the game, which I'm really excited about because we can have some fun on the podcast. It's nice to be in charge. So Pelicans only scored 13 fast break points in this game. I mean, Cleveland's a really long athletic team. You have LeBron, you have Kevin Love. Those guys can get back and defend. So it wasn't necessarily going to be expected that they would light the Pelicans would light it up in transition like they have the past couple of games. So it's just kind of, you know, one of those things. Maybe there's going to be more if they shoot a little bit better. Yeah. But they weren't really getting to the rim anyway, because frankly, for points in the paint, they only scored 26 on the game. So it shows you they're settling for mid-range jumpers, long-range jumpers, or threes. But at a certain point, you also do need to get to the rim, and you do need to attack to keep defenses off balance, to keep them honest. Something the Pelicans did not do tonight. It's a bit on coaching, bit on players. I'd say coaching, you know, fix that. Call a timeout. Tell them what to do. That's why you're a coach. That's why you have timeouts. Not enough of that last night, and it's one of the reasons that ended in a loss and snapped the Pelicans' four-game winning streak. Okay, and so for the last part of the podcast, the real play of the game, the one I really want to break down and talk to you guys about, because this is kind of illuminating in really a number of different ways. And actually, frankly, depending on the way you think about this sort of style of play, it's a little bit disturbing. So I have it on Twitter right now. It's a video that was actually sent to me by a follower. Something I didn't catch, a lot of nuances to this. So definitely search it. It's on my Twitter. You'll be able to see it pretty easily out there. So it's taken, and I'm not exactly sure at what point during the game, but it's in the second half. It's during a timeout. Alvin Gentry's on the screen, just kind of standing there, arms folded, back to the crowd. But you got to look at the crowd. There's a lady behind him. She's got her finger deep up her nose, like to the knuckle, to that like the big knuckle, the one you pop normally, there. And good form, I guess, on the nose picking here. Sticks it in, must find something, because she then pulls that finger out. It's her index finger, the pointer finger here. And she stares at it. Really just trying, you know, it's like she's running analytics on what came out of her. And then it just gets so much better. And it's just, you know, I was watching this video. It was actually, again, at the Sugar Bowl. I'm watching it in my seat. And she pulls it out and she's staring at it. And I'm like, is that just the video? It can't just be this lady staring at whatever came out of her nose here. And then for whatever reason, someone walks by in front of her and it blocks her out. The usher, whoever it is, then goes by, and then you see it happen. I'm watching it now. It's making me laugh. So as the guy goes by after she's just staring at what she pulled out of her nose, the fingers move. They're already halfway there. They're on the way there. Go right into her mouth. And she eats whatever she pulled out of there. I don't know if it tasted good. The look on her face after it happened, not too great. She like rubs it on her teeth. It's not, she just puts it in there, like licks it off and swallows, which I'm not even going to say, like, I guess that's what you get. I got no idea. She like rubs it on her teeth, like she's cleaning her teeth or trying to get it off of her finger. And I don't even know what's going on. Is this what people in Cleveland do? Play of the game, though, because frankly, I was laughing so hard when I saw this. All the OU fans around me are just staring at me and have no idea what's going on. And I just couldn't believe it. It's in slow motion. It looks like Zack Snyder would be proud of it being in one of his movies, with just the slow motion booger eating after sticking your finger up your nose. Just look, Pelicans fans, there's one thing, be better than that, please. Please be better than that. But oh man, is it a funny video? It's on my Twitter at Nola Jake. Definitely make sure you look at it. Play of the game. You know, Pelicans shot under 40%. No one's going to have a better play of the game, than what that lady did last night. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. Unfortunate loss for the Pels. But hey, you get another chance to win again playing Atlanta in the Smoothie King Center on Thursday night. Don't forget, you remember, they blew them out on the road earlier in the year. Not too long ago. I think it was November. Blew them out, crushed them. Good win for the Pels. That's a beatable team. Atlanta hasn't looked nearly as good as they have recently, like they did to start the year. They're starting to feel potential trade calls for Millsaps. You know, it's a good player. You know, there's few people I'd want the Pels to trade a first round pick for. He's a guy I wouldn't mind. Also, more news on Monty Yunus. Nothing official from the Pelicans just yet, though it does sound like they have inked him to a deal. So that should be official from the Pelicans soon. I talked about him a little bit yesterday. When it becomes official, probably tomorrow, I'll talk some more about it on the Pelicans. I'm going to be in jury duty all day Tuesday, so I should get the podcast out still at 6 a.m. for you guys. Shouldn't be a problem there. That's my commitment to all of you. So enjoy your evenings. Thanks for listening. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. And don't stick your fingers up your nose in public.